Welcome to episode 30 of The Mark of a Druid. Thank you so much for joining me. I really, truly appreciate all of the listeners and all of the readers. Come join me at themarkofadruid.com. And please, leave a comment, rate the book on iTunes or Patio Books, and go to Amazon and leave a comment for me and all of the other people who are out there doing this kind of work. Now, on to our story. Chapter 44, To Condemn a Queen. 3 days slipped into four while they awaited the return of Mircha. Alian spoke at length with her father. The first look into his eyes was all she needed to reassure herself of her parentage. He did not make excuses for sending her away. She knew there was no reason for her to expect it, but she did. There had been so much she'd missed by not having this great man in her life. He had done what he had felt was right after the strange death of Greditch. While he had suspected Gormlaith of being involved, he had not pursued her in the matter. She had been with child at the time. Alian's half-brother, Donched, was born 3 months after Arok had taken her to safety. One thing her father did openly blame himself for was having tolerated his wife's scheming for so long. The news Adam imparted to the king confirmed without doubt the rumors of plots, betrayals, and whispered invasion were true. She sat at the back of the makeshift hall, feeling sad for Donched, and the choice he would now have to make. "I will not lose my hold on Eren. I fear, my son, what is to come will not be easy for you or your mother," Brian said to his son. Long, sandy hair swung into Donched's fair face. He looked at his father with certainty and determination in the set of his jaw. "I stand by you, father. Whatever your decision, I shall not waver in my loyalty to you." Donched's gaze fell on Alian. She gave him an approving nod. This was a fine man, and one day he will be a king, she thought. Donched could have hated her intrusion into his life, but he seemed to have no doubts. He knew what his mother was and held little love for her. Even so, Alian could sense his sorrow. He rose and, with a sway to the set of his shoulders, strolled toward Alian. From the corner of her eye, she saw Adam's hand resting on the hilt of his sword. He grasped both her hands and, in formal allegiance, kneeled, head bowed. The action made Alian feel uncomfortable. "My sword is yours, O Great One, Donched. Your sword belongs to Eren. One day you will rule, and you shall be a good king." Her finger tipped his face up so she could look into his chestnut-colored eyes, her brother's eyes. "Do your sister the honor of a kiss." She leaned in and brushed both of his cheeks with her lips. "Now, off your knees. You bow only to your king and your gods if you have need of me," he said. "You may always call upon me." She nodded, wishing she had grown up with him, with all of them. As he left the tent, she felt all eyes upon her. Each of Beru's children, she realized, were from different mothers. Tadok, the king's second son, was the darkness to Donched's light, with a grievous face creased with worry and a ponderous heart. Rightfully so, she knew. He approached her and she stood, his dark brows furrowed. She could not let him kneel to her. She met him as an equal and grasped his forearms, then kissed his knuckles. "When you return, I would like to know you better. You have a sweet smile, sister." And with no more than this courtesy, he departed to execute the king's bidding. His undertaking was to meet Melmore and mend the incomplete task of overseeing the offloading of masks for the ships. Delays and excuses were unacceptable with the coming invasion. The only sibling left was Merchid, the Audrey's eldest son. He was expected to return forthwith. "Father, I need some time alone," Alian asked.
"Of course. But before you go, Emir sent this for you."
He extracted a folded cloth and handed it to her.
"She said to tell you she wished you to know your family."
Alian accepted the cloth and pressed it between her palms. Then, left Adam behind to speak with the king of their departure to Wales. Her shoulder ached from the stabbing, but it was healing well. The sun surrounded her in warmth as she walked to her tent. She opened the cloth, exposing fine needlework. She ran her fingers over the betrayal of her father, a crown upon his head and a shield at his side, three gold and white lions on a field of red. He stood alone atop green rolling hills, and the blue Shannon River snaked its way through his land. Below him were five women, and below them one child each, including Alian herself, depicted with white robes, red curls, and emerald eyes. Tears trickled down her cheek. Athene was not on the cloth. At midday, the heavens darkened, and large gray clouds filled the sky. All turned dark. Rain pummeled the ground and turned the camp into a marshy wetland of deep puddles and slick mud. Adam entered her tent and shook his black locks. Water flew into the air. He smiled broadly at her. "The king, your father, requests you join him in receiving the queen." One dark eyebrow rose slightly. "Very well." Alian stood, but he did not move aside. A tattooed hand closed around hers. His emerald gaze darkened and he lowered onto one knee. "Get up! Do not treat me as if I were more than I am," she said. "Alian, forgive me."
"For what? Bringing me to meet my father? For protecting me? Or would you like me to forgive you for saving Athene from Perig at the gathering?"
She did not understand the shift in his energy when she mentioned Athene's attacker.
"I did not know you knew," he said. "Well, I'm not thick-witted. Now let go."
She tugged her hand free, but he snatched it back. Her exasperated grunt was cut off by clenched teeth.
"Ugh, and get up before, Carmag sees you on your knees,
when you agree to hear me out." Adam flicked a tense smile up at her.
"I give you my word. Now off your knees."
When he released her hand, a sense of separateness itched at her palm. The heavy downpour subsided while Alian positioned herself at her father's left. Donched stood stoically at his right. Adam stood beside her. His arm brushed hers and tingles rushed down her body in a race to her stomach. They watched as her half-brother approached. He was the image of their father, with fiery hair, this time without the gray, and a full beard and mustaches. While she could not see his eyes, she felt sure they were the color of Erin itself. An image filled her mind's eye. Murcha was laying dead on the ground, stabbed through the heart, but he was not alone. The land was covered in death. She swayed. Adam steadied her, with a casual hand on the small of her back.
"Do you be ill?" he asked.
"No. No, I saw." She shook her head. "No, I do not wish to speak of it." Her father's eyes never left his son's advance. Murchid sat smugly on the back of a roan stallion. The horse tugged Gormlaith along the muddy road to Athlon. Tied by the wrists and secured to the wild beast of a horse, each step was a struggle to keep her feet beneath her. The woman was on her knees more than she was on her silk-shod feet. Upon closer inspection, she saw that the queen's fine dress was in tatters, and there was a large bruise on one of her high cheekbones. Alian's hand stifled a squeak. Brian's hand lightly rested on Alian's shoulder and gave a short squeeze.
"She'll never harm you again. You have nothing to fear," he said.
"I do not fear her. I pity her." He tucked his thumbs into his belt. Murcha dismounted and untied the rope from his pommel. He pushed Gormlaith to his father. "I bring you the queen." A smirk crossed his face just before his features turned to stone.
"Gormlaith, daughter of Murcha McFinn, king of Leinster, you are hereby set aside."
Brian stepped forward and stripped the torque from her neck. "You are nothing to me, or to Erin." Her face twisted from strikingly beautiful to contorted with anger. "One day, Beru,
Emperor of Erin,
She threw back her head and laughed mockingly. It will be my son who rules when you are dead. She spat the word. I am the son of Brian Baru. Donchad turned his back on his mother.
You impudent little!
Her words were cut off as two soldiers carried Davith's body to the dais and dropped it at her feet.
See your fate before you.
Brian crossed his arms over his chest.
Before his death, he talked of your orders and your desires.
A slave? Ha! You listen to a slave? You are more a fool than I thought.
The king's face glowed angry red. His hand went to his sword hilt, and then a smile crossed his face.
Have you met my daughter, Alion of the Red Hair, daughter of Greditch of the Red Hair, and Druidess of the Standing Stones?
May I present your mother's killer?
I am sorry, daughter.
I failed to mention
child, a prophecy.
Gormlith straightened her spine as Alion stepped forward with one hand to the sky.
In the name of my mother, Greditch, I seek retribution.
Her fist connected with Gormlith's bruised face, and the woman staggered backward. She lunged, her fingernails clawing at Alion's throat.
I will have all you are and all you will ever be. For as long as my soul wanders this earth, I shall hunt you down,
Gormlith screamed. Adam pulled Alion back. Murchid yanked the rope, and she fell to the ground, growling like a mad dog.
I will kill you!
Brian pulled his sword and pointed it at Gormlef's chest.
You will kill no one, you evil, vile.
Strip her naked, bind her hand to foot, and stake her to the ground, next to her dead lover.
He tipped the sword up and caught the point of her chin. Blood trickled from the cut.
A wound for a wound, bitch. When I'm done with your hide, you will wish you were dead.
The king growled. Murchid handled her as if she were a beast, but it was Brian Baru who ripped her gown from her body. Donchad helped drag his mother to the center of the camp. All the while, she held curses in all directions. Samantha howled,
Alion!
She sat up in bed.
Damn! Fuck that little bitch!
Not this time! She stalked the house like a caged animal.
I'll do it myself, she growled.
She followed the progress of the police car traveling in the opposite direction as she drove down Eve's street. Her mouth dropped open and she laughed out loud. She pulled over to the curb as an officer waved her over.
Ma'am, are you a resident on this street?
Oh, no. Nothing like that. I just turned down the wrong street, visiting a cousin. Sorry, officer, I'll turn around.
She flashed an innocent smile. He waved her on. Once around the corner, she called David. He didn't answer. She left a message.
Who is your queen?
I desire you. She clicked her cell phone shut and drove home. At home, she stretched out on the sofa. Pale flesh shone through black lace as she adjusted her breasts, exposing more cleavage. Her plans couldn't be allowed to go awry now. She needed to feel powerful once more. James and Lori returned from the local recording studio. He hired a sound mixer to separate the tracks on one of the tapes. He'd given specific instructions. There may be something subliminal laced through the music, and the tech assured him he would simply strip away the layers. What disturbed Lori was that it would take a few days. On the ride home, he didn't speak about Perrig, and she didn't mention Dubjila. Lori spun the engagement ring on her finger.
James,
her voice wavered apprehensively.
We have to tell Eve.
Not before we have proof.
But until then, we need to protect the project's integrity. She nodded, considering for a moment. She placed her hand gently on his thigh.
I love you.
His face brightened.
And I love you, now and forever.
I know.
She rested her head on his shoulder as they drove to the clinic.
The powder blue sports car parked in front of James's apartment building. David checked his face in the rearview mirror just as the phone beeped. The caller ID showed Samantha's number. He dialed his voicemail. Samantha's voice echoed in his ear. He had the car started and in reverse before the message ended. She had watched the druid bitch and her escort board a ship the previous morning. Wretchedness swam in her belly. But even as hope faded, she would not allow herself to cry. Gormlef's teeth chattered while early morning mist swirled around her. She was filthy, scraped, bruised, and weak. Davith's decaying corpse stank and drew flies as it bloated beside her. Her head jerked up as the soft pattering of footsteps grew nearer. Her heart raced at the sight of her brother. There was no need to shush her, but he did so anyway. Cutting her bonds, he slipped a plain brown brat about her shoulders and spirited her off to an awaiting ship bound for Duvland. Periodically, she casually glanced at Citric Silkenbeard pacing the stone floors of the keep. 3 days she had held her thoughts inside. Care must be taken not to push Citric too hard. He was a stubborn, prideful man. He must think it is his idea, she reminded herself. Gormlef tapped a slippered foot impatiently on the floor. Her brother Malmor, King of Leinster, hovered at the edge of his chair. The siblings had been moving the pieces on the inlaid black-and-white ivory board of Fichel. It seemed an eternity. Malmor awaited her next move. Mother, Citric strode toward her, will Beru fight on one of his precious holy days? Inside, she felt a sense of relief. Finally, he had arrived at the answer. He will do all to avoid shedding blood on a feast day. She sniffed in disgust. Druid or Christian. Very well. I shall speed word to Earl Sidrig of the Orkneys and Brodir of the Isle of Men that our ruse will begin on Palm Sunday. But the strike will come on Good Friday. Why not entice more royalty? Offer my hand to the man who takes Beru's life. Melmore laughed with too much enthusiasm, for Citric kicked the chair from beneath him. Malmor landed with a grumble and a spark of hatred in his eyes for his nephew, the King of Duvland. I mean, you are a fine catch at your age. This time it was Gormlef who kicked Malmor. May I offer a bounty for the lives of Murchad, Tadok, and Donched? On the battlefield, of course. A knowing smile twinkled behind long mustaches. I shall see to the rewards, mother. Beru's sons are breathing borrowed air. When Aaron is under my control, I shall free myself of his daughter as well. I'd like to take this opportunity to really quickly ask all of my listeners to please go leave a comment, rate the book. If you like what you're hearing, or even if you don't like what you're hearing, please let me know. Your comments help me and others choose what to listen to. If you want more information about myself or the book, please go to themarkofadruid.com. And until next time, take care.